AUT. Next, the International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes.
This is Rita Barrett from Harleysville, Pennsylvania. You're listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Welcome to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name's Sheldon, and I am here with Jill, and it is our weekly 30 minutes of news and information for you from the world of radio, and we thank you for joining us. You can reach us by email, radioreport@yahoo.com, live streaming or archived at ckut.ca. We have a Facebook group, International Radio Report. We invite you to join that group. We have 631 members currently in there. And if you want to catch our show later on, you can find us on the YouTube channel, International Radio Report, where we have 468 current subscribers. So check all those things out, and we'd love to hear from you, our listeners out there, and have you participate in either the Facebook group or the YouTube channel, whatever you prefer. We are going to take you around the world this week, a number of different stories, some from North America and a few others from around the world. So we start with something that we don't talk a lot about on the show, and it is CB radio, or yep, citizens band radio, something that had its big, big peak back in the 70s and 80s, but it's still out there, still hanging around. A lot of people still using it in different parts of the world. Still big with the trucking community in North America. Lots of activity there. But this is an interesting story. It comes from Southgate Amateur Radio News, and the headline is FCC signals FMCB will be permitted on 27 megahertz. 63 years after the introduction of Class D 27 megahertz AMCB radio, the FCC has agreed to permit FM mode to be used. From the FCC Memorandum Opinion and Order on Reconsideration, docket number 10-119, issued July 15th of 2021. What the Memorandum Opinion and Order on Reconsideration would do is grant COBRA's petition requesting that the Commission allow FM as an optional modulation scheme for all existing 40 CB radio service channels, with AM remaining mandatory. It would grant Motorola's petition requesting that the Commission allow automatic or period location and data transmission in the GMRS and FRS bands. The Commission's rules currently permit a transmission of location information and brief text messages initiated by a manual action and automatic responses and information. And it would grant Medtronic's petition requesting the correction of typographical errors and rule changes in the Part 95 Personal Radio Services Rule Report, an order that inadvertently altered the substance of the Medical Device Radio Communication Service, or Med Radio, rules. The FCC says, quote, after considering this additional information, we conclude that allowing manufacturers to add FM as an optional modulation scheme will not substantially change the fundamental nature of CB radio service and will improve the user experience, as described by COBRA and President. How people use the service will not materially change or be expanded. Further, COBRA states that AM is a well-established operating mode that is unlikely to disappear, even if we permit operations in FM mode. Continuing to mandate AM capability while permitting dual modulation will provide benefits to CB radio users, who will have an additional modulation option while maintaining the basic character of the service. The addition of FM as a permitted mode will not result in additional interference because users who hear unintelligible audio on a particular channel can simply select another channel or switch modes. So this was something that the manufacturers had been pushing that they wanted to have done, and the FCC has been looking into it for some time, but now it looks like it's going to go ahead.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find it funny that they didn't include that long time ago, because in Europe, FM on CB has been pretty much a standard since the beginning. Will it increase the sale of CB radios? I'm not sure. I mean, we're in a time where CB is much more quiet than it was before. At the same time, why not? You know, if you have a new mode, cool, why not? It's, of course, got a lot of competition, because those GMRS and FRS receivers are now pretty much what's replacing CB radio in many, many, many services. And you know, a lot of people buy them. We'll see what that brings. And it's going to be interesting to maybe someday hear FM mode transmissions there.
Yeah, we'll see, obviously, new equipment coming out from those companies that were pushing it. So we'll see just how long it takes them to get that going, and what sort of equipment that they'll be producing to allow FM mode transmissions.
Yeah, I suspect that maybe even some European radios might actually make their way to here, because you'll be able now to use that FM mode that they have.
It'll be interesting if some people don't know that this has happened, and they're tuning across on the different channels, and all of a sudden they hear somebody and they can't understand them, not realizing that they're broadcasting in another mode. It might take a little while to sort of get everybody up to speed on this, but there's no real date that they're talking about for the complete implementation of this. So we'll have to wait and see how long it takes for everything to fall into place.
So the number of radio amateurs worldwide needs to be updated. This is via the ARRL, via Mike Terry in the UK and Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. So the ARRL reports on October 4th, the often cited figure of 3 million radio amateurs worldwide may need updating. That number was what the International Amateur Radio Union published in 2000 for the global headcount. The IARU once regularly collected amateur radio population statistics, but stopped the practice around the point when the worldwide amateur radio population began to decline. Data available elsewhere for a few major countries shows a steady decline in radio amateurs since 2000, with the exception of the US, where ham licenses, not necessarily licensees, number some 780,000 to date in 2021, Japan's ham radio population has dropped by more than 600,000 over the past two decades. As of 2015, it was 435,000 hams. This is more than half. It's pretty dramatic decline here. This is according to the Japanese Amateur Radio League. China boasts more than 174,000 radio amateurs, which is a small number considering their almost 2 billion people there, and as of 2021. According to 2018 statistics, Thailand had 101,000 hams, the UK 75,000, and Canada has 17,198. But the specific size of the worldwide amateur radio population remains open to speculation, although a 2021 figure of 1.75 million may be closer to the truth, thanks to Southgate Amateur Radio News and other sources. So there is definitely, and we probably all kind of expected, a slight decline in amateur radio population over the world. It's interesting that it's that difficult to get numbers. I mean, since you need to have a government license, basically, the governments must have numbers that they can easily share about how many licenses. And of course, that's very different from the number of amateur radio operators, actually, because like here in Canada, our license is good for life. And if nobody, you know, said that you were dead, apparently that license is good up to the age of 125 years.
Yeah, this has been a chronic problem that, you know, people have given up on ham radio. People have died. Yep. Family members don't know that. Maybe they should send a note to the government, tell them that, you know, this license is no longer active, that sort of thing. So there's that potential. There are also many, many hams that have more than one license.
Yeah.
There are club stations. There are special event call signs. So you can't strictly take the number of licenses and say that's how many hams there are. No. There's multiples of these things. And some, as you said, some of these licenses have been hanging around dormant for decades in some cases. So getting a really accurate number is difficult. It's not really followed up on. When the government in Canada dropped the annual renewal for licenses, that really had a dramatic impact on the status of amateur radio in the country, because, you know, those call signs are out there, but are they being used? Is the person still attached to them, still alive? We just don't know that. And there's no regulation that says you have to tell them.
No.
So, you know, these numbers, the Japan numbers, though, are staggering.
That's crazy.
I remember years ago, Japan, I mean, everybody and his brother basically was a ham operator. But it seems that has really sort of worn off with the Japanese population.
So there should be some way of still being able to tap into every 3 years. You got to say, hey, I'm still here. You know, even if it's just a small, go on our website and please just click the page to say that you're still an amateur radio operator, just to keep the numbers and the reality of how many hams are still there.
Yeah, it's always been a difficult thing to maintain, and I think now it's even more difficult than it was before, because there is less monitoring of the situation going on at the government level. So, all right, where do we go next? We go off to the United States and some news of a shortwave radio station about to return to the air. And this is one of the religious broadcasters located in Bethel, Pennsylvania, and it is WMLK, which is associated with a group called the Assemblies of Yahweh in Bethel, Pennsylvania. And they've announced that they are going to start testing shortly. This is via Alan Holder in the Isle of Wight in the UK. He goes on to say, I found this message on the newly designed WMLK website. Currently, we are off the air as a new transmitter is being built for WMLK radio by Ampagon. We are looking to target operations at or by the end of October. On the air 6 days each week, Mondays to Fridays, which is actually 5 days. I'm not quite sure what that means. Frequency of 9275 kilohertz and 15150 kilohertz. And from 1700 to 2200, from 12 a.m. to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Currently, WMLK Radio is broadcasting 5 days each week, Monday to Friday, during the testing program. Our target areas are Europe and the Middle East. Testing will start in the coming weeks if all goes to plan. And the reporter, Alan, says, I hope they will have better luck with the Ampagon transmitter than WBCQ has with their continental type of transmitter. We know the problems that have been going on there with that transmitter. So this is a very small station. It's connected to a small group located in Pennsylvania. Actually, I've been there, was driving through there a number of years back and realized I was in Bethel, Pennsylvania, and I looked up the station and got to go into the, it's like a little community. They sort of keep to themselves, and they had the small transmitter, small antenna. Radio station was basically operating out of a trailer parked on the property that they own. So they've been off the air for quite a while now, and they're hoping to get back on again. So you can start looking for them to be testing, and their target, as they say, is the end of October to be back in operation.
Yeah, we'll be checking that out, seeing how their signal is making it across North America, at least. So what's happening with our sun? It's, you know, in its phase of having some sunspots, but not much activity going on. No solar flares or anything, but we're still having at least a minimum of activity. During the week this week, propagation was actually quite good. Most days we've been having solar flux staying up around in the 80s, and higher frequencies definitely are better. A lot of people were telling me that a lot of signals on the 19 and 16 meter band, especially in early morning here in North America. So this is the time to listen in. Asia and other parts of the world. I've been listening to a lot of hams from Europe coming in on the 20-meter band and even 17 meters this week. No coronal holes or anything are on the sun right now, so conditions should remain quiet, although there's a sunspot AR. .2882 that might actually fast, so that will be one to look out for. And of course, any new sunspot that might actually show up on the sun during the week. But the best way to see if propagation is good is to turn on that radio and listen.
This is Margie Barrett of Lansdowne, Pennsylvania, listening to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on TKUT 90.3 FM Montreal.
Interesting story, and not a surprising story for me. For Americans, radio is no longer the dominant music discovery medium, and this is by Ashley King, Digital Music News. A new report suggests Americans don't turn to traditional radio as their new music discovery method anymore. That brings into question whether the promotional value touted by broadcast corporation as a reason not to pay artists royalties is even valid. That may have been the case 50 years ago when radio was king, but as the Buggles put it, video killed the radio star. Let's take a look. In 2021, roughly two-thirds of Americans now use digital sources like streaming services as their primary means of finding new artists and music to stream. Only one in five Americans, 21%, say they use traditional AM/FM radio stations to discover new artists they like. That number is as high as it is thanks to older generations, too. Only 7% of those 18 to 29 say they use traditional radio to discover new music. Popular music in 2021 is much more likely to go viral via Spotify or TikTok rather than traditional radio. That viral popularity helps drive traditional radio plays, not the other way around. It's an important distinction to make when artists aren't being compensated for their radio plays. The report comes from the Music First Coalition, which is seeking to get artists paid for their radio plays. Broadcasters like iHeartRadio and Cumulus Media refuse to pay artists based on the myth of promotional value. The group is seeking to get the American Music Fairness Act passed through Congress. If passed, the act would require broadcasters to fairly compensate artists when they play their songs on the radio stations, while protecting truly local radio stations by exempting small and non-commercial broadcasters. The coalition found that only 30% of Americans surveyed said they knew artists weren't paid for AM/FM radio plays. Meanwhile, over 54% of Americans report they know services like Spotify and Apple Music do pay artists royalties, an overwhelming 40-point margin. Americans believe artists should be able to withhold their music from radio stations if they're not paid for those plays. Since traditional radio no longer drives music discovery for so many Americans, isn't it the time the artists were paid for their music? Most Americans agree, with roughly 65% of those surveyed saying they support a boycott of advertising on traditional stations that continue to refuse to pay royalties to artists. 54% of Americans say they support the passing of the AMFA Act to require radio stations to compensate artists when their music is played. So this is interesting. I'm not surprised that people discovered new music through online digital services. And when you look at the numbers, you know, a lot of the numbers, I think, reflect also the degree of connectivity of people through the internet and with devices. I mean, the more you are connected, the more you discover through internet services like Spotify and so on. And of course, the less you're connected to the internet, the more you'll discover through FM radio or radio in general. As for the compensation, I think, yes, artists need to be compensated for their airplays. But it's a tough one because in a time where we know that a lot of AM/FM stations are struggling already, having to, at the same time, you know, pay out royalties for everything they play might tip some over. I do believe there is a promotional value to, you know, if you play a song from an artist, well, that artist's song might be listened to and played on different services more, which will bring in money. But it's a complex issue, and it's an issue that's been pretty much debated for so long. I mean, for as long as I think we can, I've listened to music, there was always that question of royalties and how much should artists be paid. And then the digital media came in, and that also was a big battle. How much money do we get paid for each plays and so on?
Yeah, and people being able to access music free by, you know, through YouTube and however, you know, they get to it. You know, there's really no way to sort of figure out how we're going to compensate artists for that sort of, you know, people getting hold of music for free. I mean, that's been a big issue in the past as well. But, you know, it's kind of odd with the radio stations, because there's very few stations themselves decide what music they're going to play. They're sort of pushed by the music companies, the record companies, the artists, promotional people who sort of put the music into the radio station and say, okay, here's this song and you should play this one or you should play that one. There's not a lot of control at the radio station level in most cases of, you know, deciding who they're going to play and which songs they're going to play. Many of them don't choose the music at all. They get packages delivered to them of, you know, pre-recorded programming that they just put on the air. So they really don't have an impact on which songs are being played. So it's a really complicated system, and trying to figure out, you know, how everybody gets a fair shake is just about impossible to do these days, I think.
So Brazil is preparing for some DRM transmissions, apparently.
Yeah, this is a Digital Radio Mundial raising its head again. they just keep trying, but I don't know if this is going to work. This comes from DRM themselves. Brazil prepares for domestic DRM transmissions to Amazonia. DRM broadcast from a locally produced transmitter will be originated for the first time in Latin America, as Brazil will officially start digital DRM shortwave transmissions through the National Radio of the Amazon towards the vast area of the northern Amazon region, mainly inhabited by indigenous populations. In another first, Empresa Brasil Comunicacao, EBC, the public broadcaster, placed the order for the high-power transmitter with a local manufacturer, the BT Transmitters Company from Porto Alegre. BT Transmitters signed a contract with EBC for the production of a 100-kilowatt transmitter in the DRM digital system. The equipment will be used on the 11780 kilohertz frequency in the 25-meter band on shortwave, which is one of the shortwave channels used by Radio Nacional de Amazonia since 1977. The purchase for $3.5 million is a result of an auction held in August 2020, in which other equipment for EBC's public radio broadcast is planned to be acquired. At the end of last year, Nacional de Amazonia carried out tests with the DRM technology using a transmitter of 2.5 kilowatts with a digital power of just 1 kilowatt. EBC demonstrated then, for the first time in the country, the use of multi-programming and the transmission of interactive multimedia applications. Despite this low power of the transmitter supplied by BT Transmitters, recordings were reported from different regions of the country and even from North America and Europe. Radiolab Comecan Transmissio de Radio Digital, DRM, M. Onda Curta no Brasil. The result of these tests were published last month by the DRM consortium. Digital Radio Mundial standard provides power savings of up to 80% in electricity consumption, a sound quality equal or superior to FM, as well as allowing images and other data to be sent to the radio receiver. DRM is a worldwide consortium, and more information can be found at drm.org. Notice they did not mention the availability of radios.
My rant here is, look, first of all, come on, guys. Admit that the North American and European people that heard this, and even people in Brazil, people like us, radio nuts that dabble in radio and like to play with radio and have expensive equipment and computers and SDRs. And at the beginning, you are talking about giving broadcasts to the local population of Brazil, which do not have DRM receivers, and there's no radios available of pretty much any kind. I think Texan has one, which is so expensive that you're not even sure you want to buy it. I don't know what these guys, how these guys do this. They actually are able to have all of these, you know, broadcasting companies fit DRM transmitters that cost money for something that nobody can listen to. I have a hard time with that one.
I mean, they clearly state that they're targeting mainly in areas mainly inhabited by indigenous populations. You know, we know what goes on in some of the indigenous population communities around the world with respect to radios. They're using solar-powered radios. They're using wind-up radios, small battery-operated radios. Where are these people going to get digital radios from?
Yeah, no, look, come on, nowhere. It's crazy. And I am tired of seeing DRM being pushed. That's not happening. There are no radios. There has been a few little weird models pop up here and there, but that was gone. I don't know what is happening here. Somebody is really good at pushing DRM, I can tell you that.
We've seen DRM demonstrations and what have you at the SWL Winterfest for maybe, geez, I'm going to say maybe 10 years.
Oh, yeah.
And where is it? You know, we keep hearing about it and hearing about it, and they keep trying to introduce it to these areas where it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. I don't know. Like you say, somebody's pushing it from inside somewhere, and they're convincing, you know, they've got very influential people or somebody working for them. And they're convincing some broadcasters to give it a shot. But I don't know. We need to be convinced about this, that's for sure.
Yep, I don't see any future right now, I can tell you that. So, we have some upcoming ham radio contests.
Yep, we'll get back to good old conventional ham radio here. no digital mundial in this stuff. But we've got 5 different contests to tell you about coming up next weekend. The first is the 1010 International Fall CW Contest. It is 0-100 October 16th to 2359 October 17th, sponsored by the 1010 International Group. It's 10 meters only, and it is CW only.
There's the New York QSO Party, 14 Zulu October 16th to 02 Zulu October 17th, sponsored by the Rochester DX Association. The object stations in New York State may work everyone. Stations outside of New York State work as many New York stations in as many New York counties as possible. All HF bands except the work bands and all mode are permitted.
The Worked All Germany contest is coming up 1500 Zulu October 16th to 1459 Zulu October 17th. That one is sponsored by the Deutsche Amateur Radio Club. It'll be SSB and CW, 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz bands.
There's the Asia Pacific Fall Sprint, CW, from 0 Zulu to 02 Zulu, October 17th, sponsored by the Japan Amateur Radio League, and it's 15 and 20 meters only, and CW.
And finally, the Illinois QSO Party, 1700 Zulu, October 17th to 0100 Zulu, October 18th. That one's sponsored by the Western Illinois Amateur Radio Club, 160 through 2 meters, no work bands, and it is an all-mode contest. We will put up the links to all the rules and regulations for each of these contests for you on our Facebook page.
And we are quickly out of time.
We certainly are. We thank you for tuning in, though, and listening. And if you'd like to reach us, you can do so by email, radioreport@yahoo.com. And check out the show again either on the ckut.ca archives or on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report. And join our Facebook group if you like. It is International Radio Report. Lots of good information there, and we invite you to post up messages as well as stories that we may use on the show. Have a great week, everybody, and We'll talk to you again next week. We're getting close to Halloween coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we'll have some pirate news for you for that coming up. So that's it for us today. Talk to you next Sunday on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
Laurie a hâte de célébrer son anniversaire au resto. Elle y a pensé toute la semaine. Elle a invité ses amis. Elle a acheté une nouvelle robe. Elle s'est rendue au resto. Elle n'a pas pu rentrer dans le resto. Elle a dû ranger sa nouvelle robe. Elle n'a pas pu voir ses amis.
Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. With song and let me sing forevermore.